1 Thessalonians 5:16-24. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit. Do not despise the words of the prophets, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. May the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your soul and spirit and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do this.
I thank our sister in Christ for sharing those words of truth that can be trusted. Thank you, my friend. Would you join with me in prayer? Thank you, Father. You've spoken through so many. And this morning, through Paul, to the church, the early church, we hear the words. Remind us that he's speaking to us. Remind us that you are moving through his words, that we would embrace them and also live them as modern-day disciples of the risen one, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. I want you to imagine something with me, okay? I don't want you to necessarily close your eyes at the beginning of a sermon. That might be dangerous. But I'd like you to imagine a sign this wide, okay, and about this high, okay? You with me? A sign this wide and this high with a sign that's on it that says, "No left turn." Okay, are you with me? Are you with me on this? Imagine such a sign, "No left turn." Now, not only do you have that sign, but you actually have it in the lane, the left turn lane, blocking the left turn. And there's a big arrow that points to which side is this? One of the ushers, Clarence, could you come down and escort him up? Left side. It's blocking it. And there's even this poor schmuck out there with a flashlight and a drippy nose and a vest that doesn't really fit, and he's going like this. And you know what happens? They roll down the window and they ask that poor schmuck who's saved by grace alone. They ask him a question. And what's the question? Absolutely. And it was just amazing to me. It's an amazing sociological experiment to see that. To actually see people coming up and having all that direction and still wanting to turn left, and it actually turning right would make it easier for them. And one gentleman who was referencing God as he was talking to me, at least was saying, "Well, why can't I go?" And I said, "Sir, you know, your vehicle weighs a lot more than me. Please be on your way." And God's blessings. And by the way, Merry Christmas also. It was amazing. It was absolutely astounding. And yet, Advent reminded me of no left turn. Because it's very much about putting us, once again, on the path that God would have us follow. It's putting us on that path that is actually the best path. It might not necessarily be the easiest one, granted, but it's the one that God is going to encourage us on, that God is going to journey with us on, that God is going to even prepare the way on. And so if God is going to put all that effort into the path that he would lay before us or journey with us on, don't you think that we can probably follow him? We can make a right turn, if you will. The Thessalonian church was a church that was in the midst of many distractions. A myriad of pagan gods, small g, of worship of all kinds and distractions, and kind of a crossroads of all sorts of different cultures. And the church was struggling in the midst of all of this, was trying to do the right things, and yet, boy, sometimes even when you know what's right, it's a challenge to stay on that path, isn't it? You know, there were folks that knew better, and they saw somebody turning left these past 2 days, and they said, well, they did it. It must be okay. They did it. Paul, this is probably so. A lot of scholars agree that this is so. Paul wrote this first, before any other letter. This is his earliest letter. And so there are some basic kinds of truths and ideas that we start wrapping our minds around right from the very beginning. If we're reading Paul's letters in order, we're going to be reading this one first. And there are some of those Christian bookstore plaque statements in this scripture. You know what I'm talking about? You go into, anybody been in a Christian bookstore before? Okay. And you go in and you see plaques, and they have a particular part of scripture, and sometimes it's kind of taken out of context, but it's still inspirational nonetheless. Rejoice always. That's a plaque. That'll preach. Pray without ceasing. Of course. Of course. People have asked me about that one in particular. And they said, Pastor, whenever I'm driving along, how can I pray without ceasing? And I remind them that at particular times in Yuma, prayer is exactly what's needed whenever you're driving. And there are times whenever my prayer life is only enhanced driving down in Yuma. And I am in fervent prayer, and I want to stop my vehicle and get down on my knees and say, thank you, Lord, for delivering me here to the hospital. And I just pray, and it's an emotional time for me, as you can imagine. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all circumstances. Easy, no problem. Or is it? The church today, as the church in early times, still has the same call. Certainly, we wait for Christ's return. They thought it was imminent. They thought Christ was coming back soon. We've come to understand that that's not really what it's about. We need to prepare ourselves for Christ coming again. He will come again in glory. Those are truths. Those are realities. But in the meantime, how do we live? In the tension of life, how do we live? Christ has come in the form of a baby, and we understand that. And he grew into a man. And it became very clear after his crucifixion and then his resurrection that this was the Savior of the world, the promised Messiah, the delivered Savior. This was the truth, and all that he said and all that he taught and how he lived and how he healed and fed and brought life back into individuals, literally and figuratively, that could be trusted and that could be counted on. First and foremost, that is our basis. Paul continues from that whenever he offers these words to the early church. Rejoice, pray, give thanks, because God keeps his promises. And in the tension of life, of Christ having been here and ascended into glory, and when that time when Christ comes again, in that tension of our call to be disciples and to truly follow not only Paul's directions, but first of all, to be Christ bearers in the world, then, my friends, we are following the direction that God would have us go, aren't we? We're following that direction. And we're humbling ourselves to remember that it's really not about us. It's about God at work in and through us. Not about us, but God at work in a new advent, a new indwelling and breaking into our lives. That's a relief. For me, at least. I don't know about for you, because it's not all on any of our shoulders then. Who's it about? Now? Yesterday? Tomorrow? Forever? And what God does. That particular statement, rejoicing in all circumstances. Give thanks in all circumstances, excuse me, rejoicing always. Give thanks in all circumstances. Reminds me of a story that I read. Corrie Ten Boom, Christian missionary. She wrote a book called The Hiding Place. And she relates an incident that taught her about being thankful, even in circumstances that you can't imagine how God would be working. You can't see it for the life of you. She and her sister Betsy were prisoners of the Nazis, and they had been transferred to the worst prison camp they had yet seen, Ravensbrück. Upon entering the barracks, they found the barracks extremely overcrowded and infested with fleas. Their scripture reading from their smuggled Bible that morning in 1 Thessalonians had reminded them to rejoice always, pray constantly, and give thanks in all circumstances. You're walking into a barracks in a Nazi concentration camp, overcrowded, and that's infested with fleas. Betsy told Corrie to stop and thank the Lord for every detail of their new living quarters. Corrie at first flatly refused to give thanks for the fleas, but Betsy persisted. Corrie, finally agreed to somehow thank God for even the fleas. The story continues. During the months they spent at that camp, they were surprised to find how openly they could hold Bible study and prayer meetings in their barracks without guard interference. You know why? The guards wouldn't enter the barracks because of the fleas. True story. Giving thanks, rejoicing, praying. On your Christmas to-do list, along with getting Christmas cards out and decorating the tree, how many people have written down pray? This is not a guilt trip. This is just a reminder that this is what we're called to do. And not just pray for that person that cuts in line. Lord, give me the strength. But rather, to live in a way that shows the world what Christ's coming really means. My friends, what a great opportunity we have still during the rest of our Advent journey to show the world, a world that needs it now more than ever, a world of people who are thirsting and hungering for hope, that there is hope, and there is hope through believing in God through Jesus Christ, that infant, that reason for the season. That, my friends, is something that we can be excited about. That is something that we can rejoice over. That is something that we can give thanks over. That is something that we can pray over, that God would continue to speak to us, and that we then would continue to follow the direction that He would have us go. I'd like you to take a few moments with me right now in our time of discipleship to think first of a challenging thing in your life. Specifically, think of a challenge. And then to lay that before God and say, Lord, I'm going to trust You and how You guide me with this. That God of all creation is greater than any challenge we can ever imagine. And He loves us. Join with me in prayer.